Turn with me this morning, first chapter, book of Isaiah. The vision of Isaiah in the first chapter, the first verse, in the second chapter, the first verse, that vision was the word that God had spoken. He has come with a grave indictment for the people of Israel. In verse 2, he said, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken." And that's in the second chapter and first verse. That's what he's talking about. The Lord said. The word has come. Wasn't spoken in any dark place. It was open to all the people. Not only to Israel, but all the world. Sometimes we try to break that up and say, well, and Israel was a special case, alright. The Lord sent his word to them specifically. But he gave all other things, the creation and everything about this world, to the whole world. It was the grace of God that come, even though it come in a most peculiar and special way under the people of Israel alone. But it was the word of God that Isaiah had a vision of. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Speaking of that special thing that he had done for Israel, he had called them by his name. It's my people. There was much grace in that he was going to save a people. And it's going to begin here. But Israel is going to be blessed in this manner also, that out of that people was going to come a people. Special, peculiar. He called them peculiar people. People of the Lord. They're going to be different to everything else in this world. Every other people and every other thing. Then verse 5, then he said, why should ye be stricken anymore? I've pondered on this quite a few times. Lord has done, seemed like everything in the world that he possibly could to Israel to turn them around. Except one thing. They didn't have spirit to turn around. But he had chastised his people over and over and over in every manner there was. Did even to killing. And yet, they wouldn't turn. And the question is, why would you be stricken anymore? Why would you hold out? Why would you not turn? And we've already answered that. Will you revolt more and more? And then he goes on, ye will revolt more and more. Revolt more and more. I'll get to that right in a minute. The whole head is sick. It's everyone in Israel. That's what the problem is. The root is deep. His sickness is deep. It's through all the people and it runs through the whole thing. It's sick in the whole heart. Faint. From the sole of the foot, even under the head, there is no soundness in it. This whole people has rebelled. Now, this is not only a message to this people, but this in the wilderness was a church. And it extends to our day the same warning is unto the church. Today are under the people of God, those that he called by his name. This is my people. And called them out. So they need to be walking careful. He said they're spanked from the sole of the foot even to the head. There's no soundness in it but wounds and bruises. And putrefying sores, they're rotten all the way to the bone. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate, and your cities are burned with fire, and it is desolation everywhere. It wasn't that they didn't know. And it isn't today that people don't know. Knowing is not the problem. Their rebellion is a problem. It's their very nature. It's man's very nature. Then on down in verse 15, he said, and when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from ye. Yea, when ye make my many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. And in verse 16, he said, wash you. Make you clean. They're unclean. Everything that they have touched in the land is polluted. The only thing that they have to offer up is their old sacrifices, which in one sense was good, and in another sense it was just their works that they were trying to produce, trying to go about in their own righteousness and offer up something to God that would be pleasing unto Him, that would stay His wrath. And no doubt these people saw it more than anybody ever. The wrath of God had come upon them, or the chastisement that was in, that wrath that was in that chastisement had come upon them in a mighty way. But again, it wasn't that they didn't know. He's fixing to go on further here. Wash you. Get clean. You're an unclean people. An unclean thing. And your whole land is unclean. Everything about it is death and a putrefying sore. All the way to the bone. It is bad. It's bad. Need washing. It's a call. This is to repentance. And this is where things get kind of messed up. Most people today teach this. Repent and be baptized and be saved. Well, problem is repentance, again, is a grace of God. Sometimes we want to kind of divide things up also and say, well, you repent and then you believe, or you believe and then you repent. And it all is one thing. It all comes at the same time. Man, if he believes, he will repent. Isn't any problem in trying to straighten that out, which one of them is first, like chicken and egg. Well, I can tell you about chicken and egg too, but anyway, it's about the same thing. But it has consumed even our churches in this day, the idea of being able by man's own will and power to repent. Man in his own power will not and cannot repent. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings before mine eyes and cease to do evil. That's one thing. all wrapped up in repentance. Get it away, get rid of it, get it before, get it away from you, get it behind you, and cease to do evil. And then not only that, he's going to go on and learn to do well. Or we might say good. Seek judgment. Try the weightier matters. You've left off with more weighty matters of the law. Strain at a gnat and swallowed a camel. Seek judgment. This is the things you got to do. This is things you must. This things that you will do. If there is a washing, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widows. In verse 18, he said, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land." If's always there. The only thing to take away that if is the Lord himself. That's the whole problem. Wash you. Get clean. But without the operation of the Holy Spirit upon the minds and hearts of men, they won't be clean. He'll always turn. They are an unclean thing. Lord. Oh, thank you. My head. A couple of weeks ago, I think it was, we went to Ezekiel, the 34th chapter. Let's go to 36 this morning. 34th chapter, he's talking about the showers of blessing. In the 36th is a continuation of that 34th chapter. Talking about the showers of blessing. Lord is going to bless his people. Verse 24, I guess. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I'm in wrong chapter. verse 24 and 36 is, I will take you from among the heathen. I think he meant this in both times and both ways. Not just in that particular time. "And gather you out of all the countries, and will bind you into your own land, bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you." This goes back there in Isaiah. They can't clean it up. But if the Lord come and sprinkle the clean water upon them and wash them in newness of life, revival, if you will. Many words we might use there. But they clean them up. They clean people Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. If I do that, and all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Well, we're going to get the whole thing cleaned up. Their service anymore won't be polluted, because they'll be offering it up in a clean manner, in a holy manner, in a spiritual manner. Man cannot worship outside of a spiritual manner. But if the Lord makes a clean thing out of it, it'll be clean. From all the filthiness, from all your eyes, will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you. This is the only way that they can wash themselves. But the washing is from the Word. That Word that we just talked about in the second chapter of Isaiah and first chapter, he said the Word. That's the vision that Isaiah had. It's the Word's coming. This is the grace of God that's coming upon mankind. He's going to clean them up. New heart, give them a new heart and a new spirit, that they might be spiritual. I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I give you a heart of flesh. It's going to be a tender one. He's just double talking here. I'm going to take one of them out and put another one in. I'll kill that first one and put a new one in there. Resurrection, if you will. Now I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments and do them. This is a shower of blessings that's coming, isn't it? And you shall dwell in the land. What land? One that's at peace and rest, view the land. Rest in the land that I gave to your fathers. And you shall be my people. And I will be your God. Bruce, how many times did he say that? And I will also save you from all your uncleanness. Don't heal the land and the people, and everything about it is going to be a holy convocation. It won't be any unclean thing in it. Be all new. New heaven and a new earth, that's what we look for, isn't it? One that's made clean. All the filthiness removed. And I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn, and then will increase it and lay no famine upon you. All those chastisements of the sort that had been done early on, going to come to an end. It's going to be chastisement, but not unto death like it had been. There's always going to be correction, washing with the Word. That's the reason should be the reason, I'll put it that way, people are assembled this morning, that they might be washed with the Word and made clean. Isn't anything else that will make you clean. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree in the increase of the field, that ye shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. They won't be able to look at you anymore, and say, look at this people that has brought an abomination upon their God. They'll be a clean people. And it'll resonate through the whole world. That's what he's talking about. There's going to be showers of blessing that are coming upon the people of God. And everyone will see it. He's not doing these things in any dark place, but openly and above the board that all might see. This is going to be the people of God. And the people about them. It may not come all at one time, but they will see and they will know that this is the people of God. That he is their God and they are his children. It's a little different, but it's the same thing. He has brought them all into the fold and saved them. In the book of Titus, fingers will get there in a minute. Just be patient. Third chapter, he said, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's what I said earlier. It's got to be spiritual. Which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. That's what we read a while ago. This is what you got to do. You've got to be clean and produce good works. That they which believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. To everyone. Some might limit that to just the people of God, but it's good for all men. That's the grace of God. Well, otherwise, we'd be in total anarchy. We're pretty much that way now, but it would be much worse if the grace of God wasn't shed upon this world. So all benefit from a good God.
It says the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. People ask the question, though, if man can't do all these things, why does God command them to do it? Well, it commands us to do those things to show that we cannot do them. Why do you think the law was given? that every mouth may be stopped, right? But it's the mercy and the grace of God that brings us to repentance and faith and love and joy in the Holy Ghost. So, He commands these things that all men repent, right? Well, if they can't do it, why command it? Well, to prove again that God is righteous. What was it the psalmist said? David, against thee and thee only have I done these things. For what reason? That thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and clear when thou judgest. Oh, for the grace of God. The only thing that's going to help.